Good morning and welcome to YW She Shines Radio, a weekly program that celebrates the aspirations and accomplishments of women. I'm so glad you joined us this morning. I'm Megan Grady, Chief Operating Officer for YWCA Rhode Island. YWCA is dedicated to eliminating racism, empowering women, and promoting peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. At 146 years old, YWCA Rhode Island is the third oldest YWCA in the country. You're listening to YW She Shines Radio, a weekly radio program that airs Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WOON 1240. Many thanks to our producer, YWCA CEO Deborah Perry, and Public Relations and Program Manager Clara Schwager, who's been helping put the show together. We really couldn't do this without you. This program is made possible in part due to the generous support of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Rhode Island. For more information about member services, plans, programs, or healthcare information, visit their website at bcbsri.com. My guest today is a longtime friend of mine, Councilwoman Susie Alba from the Smithfield Town Council. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Councilwoman.
Thank you so much, Megan. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we've known each other for a little while, but why don't we start off today's show with you telling me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I actually grew up in East Providence and went to East Providence Public Schools. I graduated from Rhode Island College, so continuing my public education background. I was actually a first-generation college graduate. After graduating from RIC, I actually spent a year in national service in the AmeriCorps program, and I served at Roger Williams University, helping the university build stronger campus and community partnerships. After AmeriCorps, I actually began a career in fundraising and worked for several years at the United Way of Rhode Island. I was a development officer and the director of a state employee charitable appeal program here in Rhode Island for the 14,000 state employees. And I also was a co-founder of the Young Leader Circle. I know, Megan, you're a member of the Young Leader Circle when I was working at the United Way. Although I loved the United Way's work and mission, just like many other young professionals, I was starting to think about what my long-term career goals would be and realized my heart was really in higher ed. So from the United Way, I worked at Brown University the past 4 years, and I raised funds for financial aid and scholarships for students. And just recently, actually, just 2 months ago, I left Brown after 4 years there, and now I'm an adjunct professor at Rhode Island College teaching public speaking, and I wanted to spend more time and more of my focus on my public service in Smithfield and also really finish the last leg of my master's degree as well. And on a personal note, I'm married, and when I'm not traveling and spending time with my husband, I serve on the Women's Fund of Rhode Island and Rhode Island College Alumni Association Board of Directors and mentor local youth and college students.
Wow, Susie, that's pretty impressive. And, you know, you're not old, so that's a very big career path for someone who hasn't even probably spent 10 years in the workforce, right?
It's been a very exciting 31 years.
31 years.
But I think Rhode Island is a very unique community in that there's so many opportunities for young people to try different professions and really try new things. So it's been exciting.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, not only have we been friends and worked together as volunteers with the United Way of Rhode Island, we were also classmates at Roger Williams University in the Master's in Public Administration program. Right. So I wanted to sort of ask you about that path that you decided to take to get a master's in public administration, because it's not necessarily a degree that many people know about.
Right.
And just sort of like why you were motivated to go for that.
Sure. The decision for me was really easy to get my master's degree. Education has been very important to me, especially being a first generation college graduate. And I knew going on to higher ed would ultimately support my career goals, which would help me continue to support my family and also be a good community leader. But public administration was the best fit for me. I knew I wanted to stay working in the public sector and in government and really wanted a strong foundation in public policy implementation and also public financial management. That was an area that I was hoping to really strengthen as part of the program. And what's nice about the program, as you'll know, Megan, it's really designed also for part-time practitioners. So people working and living here right in the state, and that really provided for rich learning and conversations because we were all developing together and sharing best practices and what we're doing here in the state. So it's been a great experience in the program.
That's awesome. And have you felt that you've been able able to sort of connect what you're learning in the classroom to the work that you're doing on the council?
Absolutely. The background and the skills that I gained in public budgeting, also ethics. I mean, many of the courses that I took or have taken in the program have absolutely strengthened my background so that I'm able to be an effective leader in Smithfield. Absolutely.
It's been great. That's great. Well, that's a great segue to the next question I wanted to ask you about. So as a person on the town council, why don't you tell me about sort of like what that means? Like, what does it mean to be a town council person?
Sure. I was elected to the town council back in November of 2012. In Smithfield, we have an appointed town manager and a 5-member council who's elected at large for 2-year terms. So I'm serving for 2 years and I'm representing our community, which is made up of 21,000 people. Really, my role is to establish policies and budgets that directly benefit the Smithfield community. I also work to ensure that our services that we're offering to residents are affordable and meeting their needs. And I oversee the allocation of resources from our annual budget, which is about $62 million.
Wow.
Of which 50% goes to our school budget. So it's quite the responsibility and the undertaking. But, you know, I think, again, I truly enjoy living and serving in such a great town. And there's so many hardworking people in Smithfield that have lived there for decades and also new families moving in. So it's really my responsibility, to make sure that the quality of life for them is what it should be.
That's great. And Susie, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about the work that you do on the council when we come back from the commercial break.
Great.
But if you're just joining us, I'm Megan Grady. I'm the host of YW She Shines Radio. And I can't thank you enough for spending this Saturday morning with us. So, Councilwoman,
sure.
I want to hear about what a day in your life is like. You sort of brought us through, you know, what you're doing professionally and
sure.
then your work on the council. But yeah, like, how does it start?
Right. So I mentioned I am teaching at RIC in addition to serving on the council. So I do teach 2 mornings a week at Rhode Island College. I also work 3 days a week at the Rhode Island Campus Compact. So I essentially have 3 part-time jobs. And the Campus Compact is an organization that supports the college and university presidents here in Rhode Island and their dedication to campus and community partnerships and civic and service initiatives on campus. So that's been a great experience for me. So on any given day, I'm either teaching at RIC, working at the Campus Compact, also might be working on research for grad school, attending a board meeting. But much of my time is spent corresponding with town residents on issues or concerns that are facing them. I'm also, which is exciting, regularly asked to speak at town events and events throughout the state. So it's really, every day is really different for me, and I really enjoy all of the experiences and the public service that I'm doing.
Oh, so. That's great. Thanks so much for sharing. You know, we ask this question of every woman that comes on the show,
right.
And I'm really surprised that no one has said, I start my day with a strong cup of coffee every morning, because if somebody asked me
right.
that question...
I actually don't drink coffee, which is surprising to many, but I think, you know, I get my energy from being around people and helping people, so it certainly helps me to stay busy.
That's great. Well, what do you enjoy most about the work that you do?
Sure. Well, in teaching at RIC, I teach public speaking. I love preparing students to be effective communicators and public speakers, which will ultimately, you know, prepare them very well for the workforce and their own community leadership. In my role in the town council, I really enjoy being a problem solver. I love being accessible and listening to the residents and really helping to provide a service, a solution for them that makes their lives and our town richer for it.
That's great. Well, are there any parts of your work that you maybe don't enjoy?
There are, actually. So I... you know, people often ask, wow, you're involved in politics. And I actually say I'm involved in public service. But the politics that come along with working in public service is something that I don't enjoy. There are often barriers or challenges that I face as a local lawmaker. And those challenges are usually presented by individuals or groups that don't want to work with me because of a particular belief that I may have or my particular party that I affiliate with. So this is an unfortunate reality about being in public service and elected office. But I constantly remind myself of why I'm there in the first place. So I focus on the positive aspects of public service and government.
Well, that's really interesting. Thanks so much for sharing, Council. I want to call you Susie because we've known each other for so long outside of work. But
sure.
Councilwoman Alba, I think that's really, really interesting and talking to the politics of public service.
Right.
And we could probably do a whole show on that.
I'm sure.
Well, I'm Megan Grady and I'm chatting with Councilwoman Susie Alba, and she serves on the Smithfield Town Council. This show is called YW She Shines Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, so we ask that you stay with us.
There's a sea change happening in Rhode Island. We're trading our hot dogs for downward dogs. We're hitting the trail, finishing our vegetables, and we're doing it together. It's paying off with better health, new discounts, even lower deductibles. Because Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Rhode Island is changing too. And the best way to improve healthcare for all of us is together. Let's do this together. Learn more at bcbsri.com/together. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Rhode Island is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
What if we got rewarded for every good decision?
Dinner. Meal needs a vegetable. Check.
Amazing!
Vegetables cooked with a healthier oil instead of butter?
Fantastic!
Replacing bad fats with healthier fats like those in canola or vegetable oil is good for your heart. Take up the challenge for good health because the you of the future will say,
fantastic!
Visit heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info proudly supports the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Megan Grady, host of YW She Shines Radio on WOON 1240. YW She Shines Radio is a weekly program that celebrates the aspirations and accomplishments of women. In the studio this morning, I have Councilwoman Susie Alba of the Smithfield Town Council. And today we're talking about her commitment to public service and her work in Smithfield. So thanks so much for joining us this morning, Susie.
Thank you, Megan.
So I have a question for you, and it's sort of a funny question. I want to know sort of what attracted you to the town of Smithfield to live there, buy a home there, and make your life there.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I grew up in East Providence, so I grew up in a larger city. But when my husband and I got married, we thought all of Rhode Island was beautiful, and we explored all parts of Rhode Island. But when we visited Smithfield, there was something really unique about it. We're in North Central Rhode Island. It's a pretty small community. It's predominantly rural, but I loved that there was also some commercial and industrial developments in Smithfield. It's a small town, but we're home to leading businesses like Fidelity and Navigant Credit Union, Foster Grant or FGX, and also Bryant University, which is great. But I also loved the fact that we had so many scenic walking trails and natural ponds and open space. We're also known for apple orchards and farms. So I thought Smithfield really had a mix of a little bit of a city and country feel. And the school system, I think, was the thing that we looked at the most. We don't have children yet, but Smithfield schools are fantastic. So it's a great community. We've lived there for about 7 years, and I'm so happy to be part of it and leading the town of Smithfield.
Well, and you're absolutely a great spokesperson for that. I think is the best elevator speech on Smithfield, Rhode Island, I think I've ever heard.
That's great.
So you and your husband, you moved to Smithfield, and you lived there for what, about 6 years, and then you make the decision to run
right.
for public office. So why don't you talk to me about why you decided to do that?
Sure. For many years, I volunteered for nonprofit organizations and also campaigns for elected officials, many of whom are still serving. I wanted to really move from being an advocate on issues that were important to me to being a decision maker. I wanted to make a difference on a larger scale and really make my town and state stronger for my future children and the next generation of leaders. And Megan, I also felt that the people at the decision-making table in Smithfield weren't really diverse or representative of the diversity of the Smithfield community in terms of demographics or the newer families moving in. So again, I really wanted to contribute something to my town and represent those that were not being represented.
That's excellent, Susie. And was this a big decision? I mean, did you put a lot of thought into this, or did you just sort of say, you know what, today's the day, I'm doing it?
I did. I had always thought about running for office. Again, working on campaigns was very exciting, and I would start to think about seeing myself there. You have to make sure that the time is right for you. And I served on a town board, the Affordable Housing Board, and got a lot of experience in town government that way. And it was a few years later that I decided, you know what, this is the right time for me and my family.
That's excellent. It was the right time for you and your family. I love that. Well, why don't you talk to me about some of the issues that you're working on for your community?
Sure. Affordable housing is something that when you think of Smithfield, right, people don't really think of the need for affordable housing. But I've been an advocate for affordable housing for many years, going back to my days as an undergrad at RIC. And I was introduced to the issue of the lack of affordable housing during my time in the College Leadership Rhode Island program. But the state requires every city and town to work toward 10% affordable housing. And Smithfield, like many other towns, is well below that. And the housing that we do have in town in Smithfield is for senior citizens. So I've been working to see that we have more housing for families, and in particular, women and children. So I am the liaison to the town's Affordable Housing Advisory Board. And so I'm really working on that issue in Smithfield. Another critical issue, I think, is education. So as I mentioned, I'm a product of public education. And as town councilwoman, I've really been committed to doing what I can to ensure that we're providing the resources and support that our schools need to make sure that Smithfield schools continue to be high performing and that our young people are prepared for careers and ultimately for success in the workforce. So I've really been an advocate of our school department and school committee, and we're working right now in improving technology in our classrooms, increasing advanced placement courses offered, and also working towards full day kindergarten, which we hope to see in the next year or so.
Wow, that's excellent, Susie. So it sounds like strengthening public education and then affordable housing are really two of your big areas that you focus
yes.
on. I want to ask you just a follow-up question about affordable housing. So we were chatting before we came into the studio today, and I was telling you about how, you know, typically we have health advocates on
right.
the show.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Catherine Taylor from the Department of Elderly Affairs. We've had Christine Ferguson. She is the director of Health Source Rhode Island. You know, we've had people from Thundermist, YMCA, et cetera, come on the show and talk to us about health. And then we were chatting about how housing really impacts the health of the community. And that was one of the major reasons why I wanted to get you in here
sure.
today. So could you just talk to me a little bit more about how increasing affordable housing is really going to increase the livability and the health of the Smithfield community?
Sure. So homelessness obviously is a critical issue in our state, unfortunately a critical issue. And those that are homeless are represented. Every city and town has individuals who are homeless, including Smithfield. You know, we need to provide adequate, affordable housing and continue to work on job training and programs that are going to help to end the cycle of homelessness. So supplying affordable housing, you know, many advocates and myself feel that can permanently break this cycle of homelessness so that individuals are able to live independently and productive lives. This really takes funding, though, Megan, and the political will or the leadership from many of our elected officials at the town and local level. We don't have an adequate supply of affordable housing in Rhode Island. And for a state of our size, we really need to come together and start to think about that in every city and town and how we can do that. And I'm doing that in Smithfield.
And I just want to digress for a second and think back to when Dr. Patricia Flanagan was on the show just a few weeks ago. She's a pediatrician, and she's very involved in Brown University's, you know, med school. And so anyways, we were talking about making sure that her patients sort of have everything they need to be healthy.
Right.
And so she told me this story about a young mother who she'd seen at the Teen and Tots Clinic at Hasbro Hospital. And she told me about how she'd prescribed amoxicillin.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said to the woman, "Do you have a refrigerator that you can keep this amoxicillin in?" I guess it's the type of medication
right.
that needs to be refrigerated. And the woman said, "Unfortunately, I don't, because I'm currently living in my car."
Right.
And so at that point, Dr. Flanagan was sort of helping her get connected, you know, so that she had the services she needs. And
right.
so I think that really speaks to how homelessness impacts people's health. And, you know, that's just one example.
Absolutely. And we want, you know, individuals in our communities to be self-reliant, but it starts with resources that we're offering to get them on their feet so they're able, again, to have a stable home, which leads to a stable job. And it's a huge problem. Absolutely.
Great. Well, Susie, I really appreciate you coming in here today to talk about affordable housing. And we're going to follow your path on the council. Maybe we
That's
can have
great.
You back in and talk about some of the progress that you've been able to make.
Sure.
Well, I'm Megan Grady, and I'm chatting with Councilwoman Susie Alba. She's from the Smithfield Town Council, and we're talking about her commitment to public service and the work that she's doing in the community. This show is called YW She Shines Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, so stay with us.
I wrote the proposals and conducted the meetings, won the clients and wore the pinstripes. I climbed the corporate ladder, even though at times it would have been easier to fall back down. But eventually, all my late nights and early mornings earned their respect and several promotions. And when I moved into the corner office, it felt good. I loved my career and I loved my child. So when they told me I had to choose between the two, that mommies couldn't possibly be managers, I told them they were wrong. I balanced the briefcase along with the diaper bag, handled the corporate mergers, and read the bedtime stories. I taught my daughter love and respect, strength and determination. And I learned that the best kind of success comes in both suede pumps and sneakers. Eliminating Racism, Empowering Women. YWCA.
No more, do more. Together, we can end domestic violence.
I saw bruises on my coworker's arm. I went online to learn how to help.
I was worried about my sister's relationship. I called the helpline to find out how to support her.
There are many ways to learn how to help. Friends, family, neighbors, you can make a difference. Take the first step. No more, do more. Call the Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence, 1-800-494-8100. Online at nomoreri.org.
Okay, here goes. All right, a black guy, a white guy, and a Mexican are walking down a country road after their car breaks down. And pretty soon, a pickup comes along and stops, and a farmer rolls down his window and says, "Y'all stranded?" And the white guy says, "We sure are." Well, the farmer says, "I can give you a ride into town, but under one condition." And the black guy says, "What's that?" "Well, you got to ride in the bed of my pickup. I have to pick up my daughter on the way to town, and I don't want to make her sit back there." Well, the Mexican says, hey, that's no problem. So they all jump into the back of the truck, and the farmer drives off to pick up his daughter and drop the black guy, the white guy, and Mexican in town.
Waiting for a punchline? Well, racism isn't a joke. It's a means of oppressing people in a country where we're all supposedly created equal. And it has to stop. So what are you going to do about it? Eliminating Racism. Empowering Women. YWCA.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Megan Grady, host of YW She Shines Radio on WOON 1240. YW She Shines Radio is a weekly program that celebrates the aspirations and accomplishments of women. Well, I'm back here with Councilwoman Susie Alba, and we're chatting about her role as a councilperson in Smithfield, Rhode Island. And earlier in the show, Susie, you had mentioned that you sort of spend a lot of your time connecting with constituents.
I do.
So I thought that we could talk about how you stay in touch with constituents, and I'd start by asking you if you use social media.
I do, actually. I wanted to first share that really on the most basic level, Megan, I've been working on greater access to government. And encouraging residents to be more interested and involved in the issues that are affecting their town. So I do a lot of sharing of information and good news stories on my Facebook page. I have a Facebook page. I also have a Twitter page and a website. I think a great example is when we had a really bad snowstorm this past year. We're in bad snowstorms right now, but really bad snowstorm in the beginning of the winter. I was constantly communicating with residents how our DPW was doing and clearing the roads, which roads we were clearing first, which businesses were open, and just really sharing information. I was in my pajamas in the comfort of my home, but I was sharing all of that through social media, and I got feedback from residents that at the most basic level, they just want to be informed, and they really appreciated that. So social media is a great tool in informing residents. So yes, I use it quite frequently. And again, my responsibility is to communicate effectively and communicate often with Smithfield residents. So it's been a great tool.
Well, I would definitely say that social media has changed how we communicate during crisis. And a snowstorm, I think it's fair to say it's a crisis. And We have a campus down in Central Falls on Broad Street. And so I was heading down there for a meeting recently, and it was a little snowy. And so I actually went on Mayor James Diosa's Facebook page to find out if there was a parking ban.
Right.
And I got the information I was looking for. And
right.
So it was really helpful. But yeah, I think people feel a little bit more connected to community.
Absolutely.
When they have access to this information.
Absolutely.
And since we're talking about it, if somebody listening is a constituent or maybe in a surrounding community and they want to learn more about you, what's your Twitter handle?
Sure. It's Susie4Smithfield. The number 4 is my Twitter handle. And of course, you can find me on Facebook. And also, on Saturday mornings, once a month, I hold coffee and conversation meetings. So I started this back when I was, I know you're a big coffee drinker, Megan, so if you ever want to stop in on a Saturday morning, I started this back when I was campaigning in 2011, but I invite residents to meet with me and discuss issues or ideas that they have on an hour, one Saturday a month. I purchase coffee or tea for anyone who wants to sit and talk with me.
Oh, that's so sweet. And where do you host these?
So the Smithfield Coffee Company on Pleasant View Avenue in Smithfield. It's a fairly new business, so I'm supporting a new business there. But they're really my office hours, right? So I'm happy when residents stop by to talk
talk with me. But although it's, I advertise these meetings on my social media pages, but it's a great way to meet in person with residents as well.
Nice. And are these coffee and conversations well attended?
They are. I generally have anywhere from 5 or 10 people, which I think is great for a small coffee shop. But, you know, and again, I encourage people to stop in at any time to really meet with me and just get a sense of what I'm working on.
Great. Well, we're having a great time in the studio this morning. I just looked up at the clock and saw that we're almost out of time, but I do have a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
So maybe you can make this one quick. Why do we need more women to run for public office?
So although we've made progress, women are still vastly underrepresented in government at all levels. We really need to encourage women, and particularly young women, to run for office. You know, we need women at the decision-making table on every level, shaping policies that affect women, girls, and families. And the same goes for women's representation on community boards and nonprofit boards as well.
And last year, that's a great answer, by the way. Last year, you were honored by YWCA as a part of our 5th annual Women Holding Office celebration as a rising political star, and you absolutely are a rising political star.
Thanks,
here in
Megan.
Rhode Island. So what did that recognition mean to you?
Sure. I was thrilled to be honored by YWCA. You know, the YWCA, as you know, is a leader in our community, helping to really advance women and girls in our state. And the fact that you honor diverse women from every corner of the state on an annual basis sets such a great example and encourages other women to consider running for office. And it's important that we have diverse people and perspectives at the decision-making table at every level, and YWCA recognizes that. So as a young woman myself who's part Hispanic, I often face challenges serving as a leader in a town that's not particularly diverse. And what I find interesting that in a state as diverse as Rhode Island, we still don't have more young people or people of color serving. So after receiving the award, I feel really responsible to work on these issues of access and diversity for a diverse leadership here in the state.
That's excellent. And you know, at YWCA, we really look towards that town council, school committee level with our Rising Star recognition, because we know that a lot of women get started by running for those municipal level offices.
Absolutely.
Well, I have one last question before we close today's program. Now, you know that we have this show to celebrate the aspirations and accomplishments of local women. So I'm wondering, who is a woman in your life that you admire?
So that's a really hard question for me. There are many women in my life that I admire. I've had the opportunity to have many strong female role models and mentors. I have great friends like yourself, Megan, who are doing great things in the state. But a few people that come to mind are Lieutenant Governor Roberts, General Treasurer Gina Raimondo, doing great things here for everyone living in our state. And also Valerie Endress, who's a professor at Rhode Island College, has really been a mentor for me since my days at RIC, has really coached me through the teaching process at RIC myself. But continues to challenge me and encourage me to be the best communicator that I possibly can and the best leader in the community. So we have great women here in the state, and I'm happy to know many of them.
That's great. Well, Susie, it's been a real pleasure to have you on the show today. You know, it's been a real pleasure of mine to watch your career grow, just from a volunteer to a friend to a councilwoman. And, you know, it's been great to sort of hear a little bit more about the work that you're doing in Smithfield. Well, I'm Megan Grady, and don't forget that you can listen to our show anytime online by visiting onworldwide.com. That's the website for WOON 1240. And you can stay in touch throughout the week by following us on Facebook, YWCA Rhode Island. Go on and send us a message. Tell me who you want to hear on the show. And Twitter, at YWCA_RI. That's our Twitter handle. So you can, you know, let us know what you think about the show, or, you know, tweet at us while you're tuning in. And you can also visit our website, YWCARI.org, for news about our upcoming events. I want to say a quick thank you to our producers, Deborah Parry and Claire Schwager, who make this show possible. And, of course, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Rhode Island, whose generous support made this programming possible. Thank you so much for spending your weekend with us, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, keep shining.